Okay, so I just found the beginning of Isaiah 8, and which starts off and it says, "Moreover, Jehovah said unto me, take thee a great roll." So Isaiah 7 should be a little bit before that. And Isaiah 7 opens up, interestingly enough, with the context. "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliahu, king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it." So that's the context being set. And so that should be a few columns before. Oh, here it is. Okay, so I found it, and we're into it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 columns into it. And it's the second paragraph on the page of this, of the, what did we say, the sixth column of Isaiah scroll A. And we're looking specifically for the verse that talks about, behold a virgin. And he says, ask for a sign. He says, I won't ask for a sign. Oh, and he will call his name Emmanuel. There it is. It has the word Alma. And it's interesting, there's a little break, there's a little section missing, but the word Alma, young woman, not Betula, virgin, appears on the page. It could have been lost, but it was preserved in this.
It was only just preserved, too, because
it was only just preserved, right.
Yeah, how about that?
And because we have here, we have the word Alma, young woman, and it said, let's see. So, it says, Ha'alma, the young woman, the maiden. And maiden's actually a good translation, because maiden, just like, you know, in old English, can be a virgin or not a virgin. It's not specific, whereas virgin is quite specific.
Now that you've opened the can of worms, yeah. what is the application? Like, what did it mean to the people of the day? What did it mean to Isaiah?
It's very clear. So, the original historical context. So what's interesting is that the Christian apologists admit this. Like, you read in Dr. Michael Brown's book, Answering Jewish Objections to Christianity, he says, look, we've got to admit this, or we'll look like fools if we don't admit it. And he says, this referred to something in the time of Ahaz, the king of Judah. What happened is, there were two kingdoms, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, and the kingdom of Judah was being invaded by the king of Israel, whose name was Pekah, the son of Remaliahu, along with Rezin, the king of Damascus, the king of Syria. There was this coalition of Israel and Damascus against the Jews, against Judah. And God said, they're not going to defeat you. And ask a sign and I'll prove it to you. And Ahaz said, no, I don't want to tempt God. I'm not going to ask a sign. And he said, okay, you want to ask a sign? I'll give you a sign. The sign is that a child will be born to the young woman and his name will be called Emmanuel. Now, who is this young woman and whose child was it? Well, later on in chapter 8, Isaiah talks about the sons you have given me, me, Isaiah, as signs. And Isaiah had all these children that were symbolic. And, you know, one of them that's mentioned in this chapter is Sha'ar Yashuv, which means a remnant will return. And that was part of the prophecy. You know, this child represents that. And we see this in the book of Hosea, right. Where he talks more elaborately about how he had this child as a sign, Ruchama and Lo Ruchama, Ami and Lo Ami. These were children that were born to the prophets, and they'd hold up the child and they'd say, this child, Emmanuel! Proves that is the symbol that God is with us. Don't be afraid of the Syrians, and don't be afraid of the Israelites who are coming to invade us. Emmanuel, he's right here in front of us. God is with us. Now, no one in their right mind back then would have said, oh, that child is God. Of course not. He's a symbol of that God is with us. And many names have God's name within them. My name, Nehemiah, means Yah comforts, Yehovah comforts. Well, I'm not God, not to the best of my knowledge. And, you know, Zedekiah, the last king of Israel, his name meant Yehovah is righteous. And then the prophets actually mock him, and they say there will be a true Yehovah is righteous, not like you. Because you don't represent the righteousness of Yehovah. You're an evil king. Jerusalem will be Yehovah Tzidkenu. It will be Yehovah, our righteousness. And we'll have a true king then. And so here, the original literal historical context is that this child was a symbol of the of that God was with them. And what was the miracle if it's not a virgin? What was the miracle
This is actually, Jeremy pointed this out to me. And I'm just going to go over to Jeremy, because you pointed out that that it would have had obviously a meaning to the people of the day when the prophecy was given.
Well, if you think about the fact that here it says, I mean, in the Christian translation, in the English translations, it says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. according to, it would have had to have contemporaneous meaning to the people of Isaiah's time. Therefore, if a virgin was giving birth in Isaiah's time, then what are the ramifications of that for the person of Jesus Christ?
So it wouldn't be unique. It's not a unique miracle. It would have happened twice if that was the meaning of it back then, right?
Yeah.
So I want to read the next verse. So that's Isaiah 7:14. The next verse says, butter and honey, and this is the King James translation. This is not some, you know, Jewish translation that's trying to twist things. It's a Christian translation trying to twist things. butter and honey shall he eat. Oh, he's being yelled at for taking a picture. No pictures. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. This is the child Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings.
And that is the sign.
That is the sign. That's the sign. That right now you're being invaded by two massive armies. But before that child is, and I don't know what the age is, 3 years old, 4 years old, what is the age at which a child knows that you eat honey but you reject bitter things?
Yep.
Before he's that age, that the two enemies, Israel, I mean the kingdom of Israel, and Damascus, Syria, they will be destroyed. They will be overrun. And that happened. Mm. The Assyrians invaded and overran these two kingdoms, and they weren't able to overrun Judah at the time.
So the birth of the child was not the sign. That mm-hmm. particular event during the life of the child was the sign.
Exactly. Now, how could he know that within 3 or 4 years these two countries would be overrun and they'd no longer be a threat? I mean, imagine today if, you know, I mean, today it doesn't seem so incredible, but I remember growing up in the time of the Soviet Union mm-hmm. and, you know, there was this doctrine, the containment policy, going back to Harry Truman. And the idea was that a country, once it becomes part of the Soviet sphere of influence, will never be able to turn back. Mm-hmm. It will be for the rest of time because they have, you know, thermonuclear weapons, and for the next 1,000 years there'll be a Soviet Union. Well, I didn't even graduate high school when the Soviet Union fell. Now imagine if someone had come along in 1987, 88 and said the Soviet Union's going to fall. We would have said he's nuts. And he would have said a child will be born and we're going to call his name Emmanuel, and before that child is weaned from his mother, the Soviet Union will fall. We would have put him in a loony bin, that man. But in the time of Ahaz, that was a very important sign, and it was fulfilled. They said, when it was finally fulfilled, they said, we know this man is true. Now, here's a really interesting thing I never noticed, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head. It says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings. Meaning the land, meaning the two kings are mentioned early in the chapter, Ritzin and Pekah. Ritzin, the king of Damascus, and Pekah, the king of Israel. So what does the butter and honey have to do with choosing evil and refusing evil and choosing good? Deb, do you have any ideas?
Well, I know they're certainly healthy.
But maybe it's not butter, the Hebrew word maybe, that can also be translated as kefir. And the child...
Is it chema?
It's chema. And maybe the child would taste the kefir and go, blah!
Hey,
but he would taste the honey and, he would like that.
I bet you that's what it means. I'm not even kidding.
Well, really, a child that, you know, that is
nasty.
It is not. Yeah, it is not.
It's bitter.
You drink it all the time.
I do, but I put stevia in it.
But, you know, that does make a lot of sense because mother's milk is sweet. Honey is sweet. And when you first start to, you know, to taste the kefir, it really does take getting used to.
So this child, Emmanuel, by the time he could know that kefir is disgusting, but honey is sweet, that's when the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Damascus would be no longer a military threat to Judah.
History, context, language. There it is.
So just curiously, do you think perhaps they would have put honey, and when it says honey, it could have been date honey, right, for example?
Probably
date honey. But wouldn't you, though, put it in the kefir to sweeten it and flavor it?
And especially for children.
Yeah.
I would have. There it is. I just told Nehemiah to keep his voice a little lower because his voice is booming around this. He's going to get kicked out in a minute.